a song really goes along with what I'm going to preach about. And the title is, I Am Resolved. And basically having your mind made up. And it's a very good song. It goes along with what I want to preach tonight or this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Solomon proceeds to give us a list of things there is a time for. He said there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, and a time to break down, and a time to build up, and a time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance, and a time to cast away stone, and a time to gather stones together, and a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, and a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, and a time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. And it goes on. And basically what Solomon's trying to tell us, and he is the wisest person to ever live, and there's a time for everything. And now it's time for a new year. It's 2023. And when the new year comes, the tradition of a lot of people of resolutions. We know what we've heard of them. You may even have some yourself. A New Year's resolution, which simply is a tradition in which a person resolves to continue good practices, change undesirable ones, to change behavior, accomplish a personal goal, or otherwise improve their behavior at the beginning of the calendar year. Now here's the top 10 according to one website. Exercise more. Lose weight. Get organized. Learn a new skill. Live life to the fullest. Save more money. Quit smoking. Spend more time with family. Travel more and read more. Now here's what's really sad, Brother Mark. 43% of all the people are expected to fail before February. That's pretty bad. Almost 1 out of 4 quit within the first week. Okay? I mean, that's pretty bad. And then most quit before the end of January. And only 9% see their resolution until they accomplish whatever they want to do. I've been in all four of them situations, okay? So I can't really laugh too much, but that's just how we are a lot of time. But this morning, I don't want to talk to you about resolving to be healthier, which is good. I don't want to talk to you about resolving to get organized on whatever it is. I want to talk to you about spiritual resolutions. As a Christian, we need to be resolved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, for I am determined, that's the idea of being resolved, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and am crucified. And I think the hymn that I grew up singing echoes the message that we need to be resolved. It says, verse 1 says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Verse 2 says, and this is where if I could sing, I'd break out and start singing to you, Brother Darryl. You know, some preachers can do that. I'm not that person, so we're going to read it. Verse 2, I'm resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. Verse 3, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me. Verse 5, I am resolved, and who will go with me, come friend, without delay. as Christians, we need to be resolved. We need to be determined. We need to be committed for living or to live for Jesus. I wish our desires would be like the course of this song. I'll hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I'm afraid that this hymn doesn't describe the average believer today. I'm afraid the average Christian doesn't have much resolve or doesn't have many spiritual resolutions. Here's the thing I want you to understand. We need to be resolved. We need to have some resolutions. The Bible tells in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Basically what he's saying there, who we hang out with makes a difference. This morning, I want to hang out with some Bible characters today and let their lives, their habits, their victories sharpen us today to give us some resolutions that we need to have today in 2023. I want to look at four different characters today to look at some, just highlight one of the things that I believe stands out about them in their life. Number one here is Joseph. Joseph. And I put down consistent. And I'm going to try to speak in my notes because I can get on a soapbox really easy on this one right here. I mean, the fact that when any major thing, the fact that it's New Year's Day and I'm worried that people are not going to be here, it's from a pastor's perspective, tells me why I'm so concerned about this one. Because I'm consistent. But I'm going to try to stick to my notes. But consistent. If we were to hang out with Joseph, we would see a man who was consistent. He would be the man who would be consistently following the Lord. He would follow the Lord. He would be following the Lord in 2023. Then he would still be following the Lord in 2030. He would be following the Lord when he got a new job. He would be following the Lord when he got a demotion. He would be following the Lord in public, but he also would be following the Lord in private. He would be following the Lord in the big things, but also the little things. He would be following the Lord. And if there's one thing that I believe is lacking in all churches today is consistency. I mean, I remember it was like 5 years ago. My cousin, is now the right executive pastor. By the time he was a youth pastor, he was over, Sunday school, and he was doing some, reading an article, and basically it was something in nature that nowadays, if you come to church, I think like 3 times out of the month, you're considered a faithful church member. That's where we're at today. That was 5 years ago. What he's saying is that there is no consistency. But there's one thing that Joseph, among other things, he exemplified consistency. Here's letter A. And Joseph experienced his brother's condemnation. Okay, I want to kind of set up the story here. We many know the story, but let's kind of just flesh it out a little bit. Here's the background. Joseph is introduced to us in Genesis 37 as a 17-year-old boy. He was obviously Jacob's favorite. The Bible even says he was loved more than the others, okay? Now, I'm not saying that's good parenting, but it is what it is. He loved him more. He gave him a coat of many colors. Just to clarify for the sonny, if there was any confusion. You know, like there wasn't any confusion that Joseph was his favorite is now gone. Everybody knows that Joseph is his favorite. His brothers hated him. Genesis 37:4 says this. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. To make things worse, Joseph had dreamed of them bowing down to him. And I don't really know if this was right or not, but he told them that dream, and Brother Darrell, that didn't help the case at all. It poured fuel on the fire. So his brothers eventually acted on what they're feeling. By the way, their undealt with anger and resentment got bigger, didn't it? See, if you don't take care of the hidden things, and eventually, you're eventually going to act out on them. You know, like that, if you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're not, even today, even today, who are not as faithful as you used to be. If you don't deal with it, it's just going to get worse. And that's exactly what happened. That's a whole other sermon there, but that's what happened. And the result, they hated him, and they finally, their thoughts and their ugly talking, their suggestion became a reality. I don't know when it happened, but maybe 2 months before this day, maybe once, you know what, we ought to just kill Joseph. Maybe in joking, I don't know. But at some point, it became a reality. They conspired to kill him. And the story goes that one of them, I think it was Reuben, said, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit and let nature kill him. And he was going to come back and get him out. Now, I appreciate the fact that he had a little something, a conscience. But as he was gone, the brothers were sitting there, and they saw a band of Ishmaelites, and they passed by, and they said, hey, why killing? Killing didn't profit us. And they sold their brother to an unknown fate. This reality of Joseph's life, these bring you the reality of Joseph's life. Joseph faced numerous challenges. That's letter B here. And he faced challenges. I think I've told you this, you probably heard me say it too many times, but Warren Wiersbe said this, you can tell a man not how he acts, but how he reacts. Oh, and by the way, in challenging times, will tell who you really are. Here's the thing, he faced some tough times. He was betrayed by his brothers. He went from the chosen one to being a slave. He was falsely accused. He was rewarded with prison for doing the right thing. I mean, think about it. I'm going to say it here in a minute. But he said no to Potiphar's wife. He did the right thing. You know, how did he get rewarded? With jail. Oh, he in jail. He's not thinking about himself. He's a hard worker. He moved up in the prison. And these two guys have a dream, and he tells them, he takes time to focus on them. You know, by the way, I'll just be honest, when I'm in the valley, when I'm in the dumps, in despair of life, it's hard for me to think about other people. But Joseph's a guy, he thinks about other people, he has compassion, he interprets their dream, and he says, hey, for the one that's going to live, hey, when you get out, remember me, tell the king. Well, they forgot about him. Even worse than that, do you think this would be, it's good, but he was reunited with his brothers. I mean, if you want to be honest with him, Mark, I wouldn't ever want to see him again. I mean, if I'm just being honest, I'm not as godly as Joseph. You know, if I'd have saw them 10 years later, but God, why are you bringing them into my life? I've washed my hands of them. He had to deal with that as well. What we would say if we heard a story like Joseph is no 17-year-old should have to go through what he had to go through. And I know he got older as it went, but still. It started when he was 17, basically. Agreed. He did face some tough, challenging times. But what is so amazing in his reaction to all of this It's just so amazing and so godly. I mean, if someone had a right to be bitter, it was Joseph. If there was someone who had an excuse to why they couldn't serve and be faithful to God, and there was somebody who had an excuse not to come to church, it was Joseph. It was Joseph. I mean, it was Joseph. Yet, that's not what we see with Joseph. We see a man who followed the Lord consistently. He was consistent. And I just want to point out two things here. As a younger man in the valley, when things are not going so good, Joseph followed the Lord. And if you want to, you can turn to Genesis 39 and verse 7. And by the way, that's it. I mean, I said it's Wednesday night, and I could get off on a rabbit so quick on this, but I said it, and I'll say it now. And people who are not faithful and consistent in the Lord during the tough times won't in the good times. And even people who have a legitimate excuse, people who I understand, you know, right now people are not here. Yet they weren't here a year ago, and they're not here today. Because that's not the reason. That's not the reason. It's a spiritual problem. People have valid reasons for not being in church. And you say, why are you picking on church? Because that's the most... You do realize church attendance is one of the most visible things you see, right? I mean, yet they're still not here. You can't so-and-so. Let's say Billy Bob has got something going on in his life, and it is tough for him to get to church. So he don't come to church. Well, when that situation gets solved, there's a good chance you still don't see him in church. I'm just saying, and I can name people, I can go down the list. People who have legitimate reason, they have the legitimate thing in their life, yet that's not the problem. I'm telling you. And I mean, I know I'm not that old, I haven't been pastoring that long, but I see it. I see it. And you do too. He was consistent. Genesis 39, verse 7 says this. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master, why? Behold, my master wot not what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither had he kept back all things from me. But by the way, I think it's interesting here. He don't just tell her no. He tells her why. He don't say, well, you know, I don't think it'd be a good idea. No, he addresses this awkward situation. And he said, because they're on his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, and she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. This became a daily thing, okay? Joseph was faced with a great temptation. And I actually will say this, but I'm going to, because I think we read over this too much. And if you're a man, you know how difficult this would have been. And by the way, I went to a men's conference. And I think who was the pastor? An independent preacher. I think it was Lou Rossi. No, Eric Capacey. And he said this. And it was just a men, but it was about intimate things. And he said this. I never forgot. He said, sex for a man makes a bad gay good. What that means is that when men are stressed out, they're more susceptible to temptation like this. Joseph was having a bad day. Joseph was having a bad life. It would have been a great temptation for him being in this valley. It would have been a great, great temptation for a man who was not, things weren't going good for him. Things were going terrible. It was a perfect time for Satan to attack this young man who's having a bad day, who's all alone, away from his family, no one's gonna know. I don't think that Moses would understand the amount of temptation that was here. Joseph was a young man, went to Zion, facing some of the toughest days he had ever faced. This would have been a very, very tough temptation. And if you're a man in here, you understand. Genesis 39:9 says this. I don't know if I could have done it. Not at 19 or 20, however old he was. This is what he said. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because I own his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And a young man in a valley, in a time when most people would have felt sorry for themselves, would have said, woe is me, and would have had 20,000 excuses why they couldn't do what God told them to do. He said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right. When everything is going wrong, when Joseph had 100 excuses, Joseph was at church. I'm saying that because that's the issue we have. When every Sunday, and I understand, I told my wife the other day, I understand. I understand there's going to be a case when you're not here. But I don't think you realize how many text messages I get or how many people give me some excuse on why they're not at church. I mean, it's every week. I'm not talking about... I ain't talking about every so often. I'm talking about... And the thing is, it's the same people with the same excuses. It wouldn't work for... If you're going to work, it wouldn't work. And I'm not saying you got up. I understand you're going to do things every now and then. I got it. I get it. But it's just, oh my goodness. But see, Joseph wasn't that type of guy. Joseph wouldn't have said, I stayed up to 1 o'clock watching the Georgia game. I can't come to church. I'm too tired. That's not the man. Joseph, and we'll go on here. Here as an older man on the mountaintop, Joseph served God. Joseph now, we fast forward a few years. Joseph now is in second command. He had become a self-made man, if we would like to say. He's worked hard. Obviously it was God and he acknowledged that. But he had been faithful. He's on the mountaintop. He in second command. His brothers who had done him wrong are now in front of him. He could have gotten even. He could have gotten revenge, and he could have made 1,000 excuses why he shouldn't do what God wants him to do, but do what his flesh wants to do. He could have gotten revenge. He could have made him slave, but what did he do? What did he do? He did what God would do. He forgave them, showed grace and mercy. And Genesis 45 says that in verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Do my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself, that you sold me hither, for God... Wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing he said when he was a younger man in temptation? Whoa! He said, he's so powerful. No! God is the reason why I'm not going to do this. And here he said, the reason that I'm not going to make you slave like you made me is because of God. What do we see? We see a consistent man. We see a man who's at church every Sunday. Through the good times and the bad times. We know people. When things are not going good, when it's not quite as easy to get up, they're not in church. We see other people, when everything's going good, and they are blessed by God, then all of a sudden they ain't got time for God either. Oh, but not Joseph. Joseph, when he was on the mountaintop, he was serving God. Joseph was consistent in his walk with God. Today, we need to resolve to be consistent. I'm going to tell you the best thing that can help this church in 2023, and there's nothing I can do to change it. And if this church, the people who consider themselves a part of this church, will resolve to be consistent, to be faithful, that will do more for this church and the energy of this church. And I can probably name 10 people who are not here. That's almost every Sunday. Think about how much better it'd be in here. I mean, just from my common sense standpoint, we'd have a fuller house. I mean, I'm just being honest. And you say, why are you picking on that so much? And I can't prove this, but in my life, the easiest thing to do with a Christian is come to church. And even reading my Bible, and even praying. I mean, even when I wasn't walking with God like I should, I always went to church. It's very visible. I mean, and I don't know. And there are always some exceptions to this. Somebody with chronic sickness or something. But, if you're not coming to church faithfully, I doubt I have my suspicion that you're struggling spiritually. I have my doubt that you're walking with God like you should. You know why? Because usually church attendance is the last thing to go. By the way, it is commanded to go to church. It's not the only thing, don't get me wrong, but it is one of the things. And to me, if you're making excuses here and there and him hauling and being apathetic, lazy, I have a good chance you're doing it in the rest of your life too. Now, I can't prove that, but that's why I pick on it. You know what? Being consistent is something that is not present much in the church anymore. And I'll be honest with you. Since COVID, now every lame excuse is used now. Every lame excuse. Every lame excuse. Everything. I regret sometimes even stopping church at all. Because now we've created this new mindset that church now is optional. And I kind of regret it. To be honest with you. Because I'm seeing the result. See, the thing is, I'm here every Sunday, some of you are too. And I see it, I get the text message, and I get all these, and some of them are legitimate, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not. But I'm also seeing a trend that some people who were faithful are no longer faithful. And everything now, anything that comes up, like I said, it wouldn't work, that excuse wouldn't work on Monday morning for your job. Yeah, it does for church. Here's what it is. Be honest with you. There seems to be a lack of conviction. Many of us are not committed to God. Which brings me to my next resolution in 2023. Let's have some conviction. That's number two. Daniel and conviction. When I think about Daniel, I think about conviction. I think about some conviction. You know what conviction means? A firmly held belief or opinion. You know, I am very frustrated about this. And I'd rather tell it to you here than explode one day just to you. I'm going to do it up here. That's where it needs to be done. But I'm going to tell you, I can name 10, sometimes 20 people who are not at church. And sometimes it's you. You're here today, but somebody else is not here the next week. I mean, that's the thing. It matters. But you know why? Because there's no conviction. There needs to be conviction. Now, I mean, I remember being a kid. It wasn't optional. Church wasn't optional. It was conviction. Now, do I think sometimes we went too far sometimes? You know, I mean, I think sometimes, I mean, I can name some situations where people couldn't do something at school because of the Wednesday night, and I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, if you're committed to something else, you know, there's a balance there. But there's no conviction. There's no conviction. See, do you, let me ask you this, and I think part of the problem is, do you know what you believe? Do you have convictions? Do you? Let me ask you, Daniel was steadfast. Whew. He was. The same thing, just like Joseph. He was steadfast. he didn't give in to his flesh. By the way, we know the story. Most of you know the story. He came to Babylon as a prisoner. He obviously was the cream of the crop. He was given this gourmet meal in front of him. It was the best of the best. It would have been easy to let your taste bud and peer pressure make your decision. You know, and I can tell you that, that's dumb. No, let me tell you a story. I decided one time when I was about 17 to fast. You know, that's good, right? I didn't do the praying part, though. I just started going fast. And my buddy called me and said, hey, you want to go somewhere? I was like, yeah! So he had like I don't know what year, but one of them straight axle Toyotas. 5-speed, you know, it might have been a 4-speed, you know, 70 model something. And pretty cool truck, had mud tires on. We got in, we was riding around, we went to a convenience store. Do you know what a pizza stick is? Does anybody know what a pizza stick is? It was about 1 o'clock. I hadn't ate anything all day. At that point, me wanting to be spiritual went out the window. And that was the best pizza stick I ever ate in my life. I'm not going to lie to you about it. I still remember it. Hey, it would have been tough. I mean, it would have been tough to be Daniel with all this food in front of him. And all his buddy, didn't take a firm stand. A lot of his buddy, just like today, a lot of his buddies didn't have convictions. It would have been easy to give in. Now, we don't know what the Jewish violation was, but Daniel wasn't in it. He was steadfast. He said no to his flesh. He didn't let his flesh win. He didn't let his flesh keep him in the bed on Sundays. But not only that, he didn't give in to fear. We read on in the story, Daniel now a little older and Daniel's sick, and we know there's a decree that basically they said, you can't pray to anyone or any god, and if you do, you'll be cast in a lion's den. And it's what Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, knelt toward Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knee 3 times a day, and he prayed, gave thanks before his God, and he did a 4th time. Daniel went steadfast when everyone else would have been fearful. He was steadfast. Now, how was he able to do this? How was he able to get up on Sunday morning and be faithful to church? How was he able to do the things he knew he needed to do? What was his secret? That's letter B, Daniel's secret. I'll tell you what Daniel's secret is. You want to know? Daniel's secret, the secret of spiritual success is conviction. John Butler said this, Daniel's strong conviction, which had much to do with why Daniel became such a great man of God. And what he's talking about is Daniel 1:8, which is probably one of my favorite verses. I don't have a life verse. I think it's kind of dumb, me personally. They used to do that at school. And if you know me very well, I'm not one of them that getting into all what everyone's doing. And the lunch guy was like, you're not going to get your food until you tell me what your life verse is. That didn't go over too well. Well, I don't have a life verse. I don't care, to be honest with you. But if I had a life verse, it'd probably be it. But because it's such an inspiration. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion. And it wasn't just that. Daniel had purpose in his heart. If you read the ESV, it said, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. And the NASB says this on the New American Standard, but Daniel made up his mind. He had some convictions. It was made up a long time ago. He had some convictions. But just like now, we have some convictions. If you work still, you're gonna be at church on, you're gonna be at work on Monday. That's a conviction. You're gonna be there. But why are people not in church on Sunday? Why are people not serve God? Because they're not convicted. It's not a conviction anymore. See, Daniel, if he'd have waited, and I've said this in sermon, if he'd have waited until then to make up his mind, he would have gave in. See, the problem with some people, they wait until the day of or the moment of temptation to make their mind up. It's too late then. It's got to be a conviction. Daniel had convictions, and these convictions were from the Word of God. Daniel had convictions because he knew the Word of God. John Butler said, if you want conviction, you have to get into the Word of God and read and study it earnestly. People who lack holy conviction are people who don't spend much time in the Word of God, which tells me, let's go back to my hobby, my pet peeve today, you know, there's a connection between being in the Word of God and convictions. And I think going to church is a conviction. So people who are lacking that probably are not spending much time in the Word of God, which is what I said a minute ago, that my personal opinion, you know, if you're not coming to church, you're probably struggling in other areas. And by the way, I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm concerned. As your pastor, I'm concerned. You know, sometimes when I want to go to people, and I know it wouldn't go over like a lead balloon, but I'm saying, hey, look, you're not as faithful as you used to be. You don't give me lame excuses. And it's becoming more occurrent. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? Yeah, and too, so with another thing too, with a lot of people who, and the people who don't come to church, who are not faithful, they seem to be the ones that are not having any joy either. I mean, maybe look to the ceiling, but even that, I ain't concerned. I'm not saying that, like, you know, put my finger, you know, I'm legitimately concerned. They're the ones that are most stressed out. I wonder why. Maybe there's something to this. Daniel didn't give into his flesh or fear because of his convictions. And his convictions were founded in the Word of God. You will follow God in anything when it's your convictions based on the Word of God and not your feelings. That's what happens. I mean, I'm not going to read Sunday morning. People who have a conviction get up from church. And people who don't, they let their flesh decide. And the flesh is going to win that one. That's what it comes down to. I'm not even going to give you excuses. I don't want anybody's feeling. I really don't. That's not my goal today. My goal is not to make you mad. And I know that half of them that need to hear this are not here. Daniel's secret to spiritual success was conviction. Man, we used to have that. We used to have that, Brother Mark. And like I said, we used to talk about some of the old timers, I call them old timers, they were a little hard-nosed, and I don't agree with everything they would have said or done, but they had conviction. They had conviction. They may be wrong with some things, I think, but they had conviction. They wasn't wishy-washy. There's one thing you say about most of them, they were faithful. He had conviction. Daniel had conviction that goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. As your pastor, I wish more believers had this conviction. In 2023, let's resolve to have conviction. Let's be like Joshua 24. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that goes much further than just going to church. That's what you watch on TV. That's what you do. That's everything who you hang out with. The problem is we need some Christians that'll be resolved and have the conviction to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. To have conviction and for your house to serve the Lord, for serve God, it will take courage, which is the third thing we need to resolve to do this year, is to have courage. And all you can't think, a lot of them, but Joshua comes to my mind because of what God's told him. But I mean, only one, Daniel, Joseph, they all had courage. They all had courage. Here's what I mean, the reality, Joshua had a big task ahead. He's leading a country to the promised land. I mean, he's not just leading some people, he's leading a country. And if you read Exodus, you know how big of a task that was. He's wearing many hats. This is not an easy task. And by the way, life for us is not always easy. It's not always easy to do what's right. It's not easy to be faithful. It's not easy to be consistent. I mean, some of y'all's resolutions, let's see how long you stick to it. It's hard, ain't it? It's hard. I'm not saying that about it. It's hard. That's why 43% don't make it to February. Because it's hard to be consistent. I'm not beating you up right now. Okay, I know I always come across that way. I'm really not. It is hard. It is not always easy. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." I mean, he told them that. You know why? Because it does get weary. It sometimes gets weary. As you're a pastor, it gets weary coming to church on Sunday and then 10 or 15 not here. That gets weary. But I still come anyway. I mean, look out the window, that's all. I don't think anybody's going to be here today. But I didn't see many cars. Thankfully, somebody showed up. Y'all did. I'm very appreciative of that. Yeah, well, I can't go a lot further than that. But it is. It's not easy sometimes. I'm not saying it is. So here's the requirement. Again, it requires something. Let it be the requirement. It requires courage. Joshua's sitting there. And God didn't change the task. God didn't change what he was supposed to do. This is what God said. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage?" Basically said, get moving. Get moving. He basically said, living a Christian life not for the faint of heart. Have some courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Here's what I want you to get. Resolve this year to have courage. Maybe that's what you have. When we have the altar call in a minute, maybe for you, maybe that's what it is. Maybe you need to get down here and say, "Lord, help me to have courage." Okay? Help me to have courage to do what's right. Let's be resolved to have consistency, conviction, courage, and then number 4, and finally, and I'm almost done because I knew the first two would take a long time, I'm cautious. Peter. Letter A here, Peter's defeat. All right, go back to the Gospels. No, Peter. Peter, man, he had a lot of courage. Just it was a little misdirected. But I mean, he would go after it. I mean, he's the one that said, "Thou art the Christ." He's the one that walked on water. He's also the one that sunk. But he did walk on water. I mean, he's the one, I mean, although it was in the flesh, I mean, he's the one that pulled out the sword and went whacking away. I mean, he for a moment, he would get after it. But he failed. We know that. We know he denied Jesus. And why did he fall? Because he wasn't cautious. Remember in the garden? Jesus said, "Wake up. You need to pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, "Get ready. Be cautious." But what did Peter do? Peter went, I'm good, Jesus. I got this. See, I want to say, and I hope you get fired up today. I hope you go out today. I hope you have conviction. I hope you have consistency. I hope you get fired up. But sometimes that's when you'll fall the greatest, because you need to be cautious. You need to be cautious. And that's what we see, let it be here, is Peter's direction. We see that older man in 1 Peter 5:8, another one of my verses that I really like, and I think a lot of people do. Because it's so practical. What are you saying here? Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, I can't help, and then I guess it doesn't say this, but I can't help to think in my mind that he's thinking about the garden, how the devil whooped him. I think he's thinking about how he wasn't sober. He wasn't cautious. How he thought, no big deal. Oh, but it was a big deal. And I can't help but think that. That's why Peter directed him to do that. So, in 2023, I want to help you resolve to be cautious. I'm going to read something. And by the way, it's great to have convictions, but sometimes you can go too far sometimes that way. And so, what do you mean? The devil doesn't care what side of the saddle you fall off of as long as you fall off. Be cautious. The men didn't think he got it together. Whew, and fall on the other side. And that's Randy Alcorn. That's a book. It's actually a book on finances, actually. Talking about materialism versus asceticism, which is like Mother Teresa. He said, he don't care. The devil don't care what side you fall off of when it comes to money, as long as you fall off. That applies to your life every day. The devil don't care what side you fall off of, how you fall off, as long as you fall off. So be cautious. Be cautious. The minute you think you got a counter, the devil come out and push you off to the side. Be cautious. That's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, be cautious. I am to conclude today. In 2023, let's have some spiritual resolutions. Number one, resolve to be consistent. And that's a big deal. You know, there are people that have really high standards and are really low. They go back and forth. The best thing you can do in your own life and people who are following you is be consistent. I cannot stress that enough. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere, but I don't know who I read it behind. But consistency matters so much. That's how you're going to have growth. And even today, you're not going to go out here and say, bless God, I'm just going to be all fired up and charged. Because be consistent. Like, if you're not reading your Bible, I'm going to be honest, if you're not reading your Bible, don't try to read your Bible an hour every day. Just do 10 minutes. Consistent. 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 Consistency matters so much. In anything, really, but in your spiritual life, resolve to have some convictions. Now, in the time we had this, but now it's like, have some conviction. Resolve to have courage, and resolve to be cautious. As the piano player comes up, and we stand on our feet, with our head bowed and eyes closed for the first time in 2023, I'm so thankful that you came to church today to start, and there's not a better way to start the year off than looking at the Word of God. Not hearing my preaching, but looking at the Word of God. And learning and spending some time with some Bible characters where we can sharpen ourselves. I don't know about you, but these four men, Daniel and Peter and Joseph, they, as we look at their lives, they sharpen me today. Hey, let's resolve to be sharper spiritually. As she begins to play, if God has spoke to you about something, I definitely want you to pray. Well, hey, I want to encourage you to come down here. Start the new year on your knees. There's not a better way.